This is Jason Lopez. I'm with PodTech.net and with Craig Barrett, Chairman of Intel Corporation in the Intel Museum. We're actually here to talk about a new project from Intel, opening up computer access on the Amazon. I wonder if you could talk about what this project is.
What we're doing in the Amazon in a relatively small city, which is pretty isolated from the rest of the world, it's a long plane ride from Manaus or 12 hours on the Amazon River to get there, is to try to bring technology, really bring the internet, bring access to content, access to communication capability with the rest of the world, whether it's education, healthcare, entrepreneurship, but to bring that capability to the citizens of this city.
When you look at the state of the world today, people call it the digital divide, those that don't have access to computing power and the internet. How does Intel look at this issue of the digital divide?
I think you look at it as an opportunity to bring capability to the citizens of the world. And a lot has been written on the digital divide, and there are a lot of proposed solutions on how to cross this divide. And people talk about cheap hardware or ubiquitous computing. They talk about all sorts of things. We have a relatively holistic approach to it, which means that you really need to combine a number of things to make technology useful to citizens around the world. You need to have access to hardware. You need to have broadband connectivity to the internet, because that's where all the information resides and that's the medium for communication. You need to have rich local content, because, you know, people in the Amazon are not particularly interested in what goes on in Silicon Valley. They're interested in things which relate to their lives, the local weather, crops, health issues, communication issues. So rich local content is always important in the language that the people speak. But most importantly, you need education. And education is the key for young people to move forward. Giving every child on the face of the earth an equal opportunity means to give them equal access to education capability. So we've been involved for many years in training teachers in how to really integrate technology into the classroom, how to get kids enthused, how to make the learning process more exciting. So it's education is, most people think of it as educating students. We tend to think of it as educating teachers so that you can then multiply the effect and have them take that on to the students. So you have to educate the teachers first if you really want to be as successful.
Is this what's happening in Parenteens on the Amazon? Is this what Intel is creating down there?
Well, part of that. We'll be working with a couple of schools and hospital, donating hardware, working with some communications companies to provide connectivity, and working with some universities to help try to provide content, whether it's health content or information content, back to the students. But it's the holistic approach of all of those four things that I mentioned.
Does this kickstart a larger movement that Intel is foreseeing, or additional sites around the world where there will be internet connectivity?
Well, later this year, we will be working with sites in Asia, Africa, and the Middle East to parallel what we're doing in Parenteens. To try to get governments in those locales equally interested in being the catalyst to drive the expansion of this program. Intel or any single company can't drive this type of program around the world, but if we can have demonstration proofs and get governments excited about it and then work with them, I think we can have a big expansion effect here.
How does this drive shareholder value when you look at a program like this? Some companies would have a hard time getting this past the board, and others not so hard. How does it work at Intel?
Intel has had effectively one extracurricular activity since its inception, and that's been education, and it's been math and science and technology education. So we've invested very heavily with our board's approval in this area, to the tune of roughly $100 million a year of Intel's money goes back into supporting education. This is part of that program, but it's also part of, a larger social responsibility of making sure that the technology that we spend billions of dollars inventing each year makes its way around the world, and that children have relatively equal access to that technology. Now, clearly they don't all have equal access today, nor will they tomorrow, but we can do with our small part here showing people what you can do, what you can accomplish, and then working with governments to multiply that.
And this final question, just about the technology itself, WiMAX is still sort of a dream to actually make a dent in internet access for people, even in the United States, much less outside of the U.S. What kind of timeline are you looking at to see WiMAX actually have a big effect?
Yeah, you might describe it as a dream, but the alarm clock is about to go off and start ringing. Now, there are 200 trials around the world today. You've seen some big announcements in the U.S. recently with Clearwire and Sprint picking up the technology and putting in nationwide networks. I think everyone who has looked at the technology says, wow, from a cost, efficiency, productivity standpoint, this is the broadband wireless technology of the future. So I think the alarm clock may have just started to ring.
Is it a disruptive technology, though, or is it just an add-on to what we have right now?
I think it will complement what we already have. It's a wonderful technology to be disruptive where you don't have infrastructure. And places like the Amazon or most of the developing countries don't have the wired infrastructure. They don't have cable. They don't have a copper network that's running around. And broadband wireless is the way to get access to rich content.
Well, when Intel is in 9 out of 10 of the world's computers, I imagine if Intel wants to see WiMAX become a major component of what we're using out there, it's going to be hard for a lot of people not to get the message.
Well, we've been a proponent of WiMAX since the start, really, and we've been proposing it and putting demonstration sites in place around the world. But I think the technology really stands on itself. I mean, it doesn't need the Intel good housekeeping seal of approval. The technology is there. Anyone who looks at it recognizes that, and that's why you're seeing so many trials and so many people interested in it.
Okay, thank you, Craig, for being on this podcast.
Pleasure to talk to you again.